אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Our next guest is Karen Levinson from Melbourne. Karen has been living in Australia for 15 years and was born and raised in Kibbutz Kfar Aza. Her whole family still lives there, and on October 7th, as soon as she heard about the terrible attack, she got in touch with her parents. And from that moment, she went through hell with sleepless nights. Luckily enough, her whole family is safe, as they managed to escape the deadly horrors on that day. Karen will share with us, what does it feel like to be so far from your loved ones in times of crisis? Shalom, Karen.
Hi. Hi, Amit.
Karen, I don't even know where to begin, but tell us a little bit about Kfar Aza, and tell us about your family.
Sure. So I was born on Kibbutz Kfar Aza. So my parents have been there for 40 years. I was born there and raised there, grew up there until I finished my army service. And then I came to Australia just to travel, work and travel, and ended up staying here. So my whole family, my parents, my brother, his wife and three kids, and my sister all live on the kibbutz. And have still lived there until 2 weeks ago when the horrible, horrible attack happened.
This is absolutely a miracle that your immediate family has just survived, but hundreds of people from Kfar Aza and Otef Aza have been slaughtered. Could you tell us more about how your family managed to survive?
Yeah, sure. I think, as you said, it was a miracle. They didn't do anything different from everyone else. They were told at 6:30 in the morning, they started receiving notifications that there's rockets being fired from Gaza, and that's not unusual for them. So they all went into the bomb shelters, which is just another room in the house that's fortified and is a secure room. But very, very soon after, they started hearing all around them gunfire and shooting and grenades, and they realized that it was very different from every other time that there were rocket attacks on the kibbutz. And the messages started going around on the WhatsApp groups of the kibbutz that there's terrorists in the kibbutz, stay in your bomb shelter, quiet, turn the lights off, and basically just pray. It took the army a long time to reach the kibbutz, a few hours, and then Kitat Konenot, which is the first response unit on the kibbutz, which is made up of ex-soldiers, just kibbutz members that volunteer to be in that response unit. About 15 of them, they went out first. They were, besides one guy, they were all killed very quickly. They did not realize the amount of terrorists that were all around. Their training, they're used to, you know, they expect if there's an attack, there might be one terrorist in the field of the kibbutz, and, you know, they've never managed to get into the kibbutz itself. My parents were the first ones to be rescued by the army after about 17 hours in the bomb shelter. The army came in, they broke the kitchen window, about 20 of them. And the reason why they did that is because they didn't know if they're terrorists, they're barricaded in the house, because that's what they were doing. They were going to people's houses and just barricading in the houses and waiting for the army to come. So the soldiers went in through the window and called my parents to come out, and my parents didn't know if it was the terrorists or the soldiers, because they were told that the terrorists, some of them are dressed up in, you know, army uniforms, some of them are speaking Hebrew, some of them, you know, are trying to trick people to come out. So my parents asked them which unit they're from, and when they heard the Hebrew and understood the Israelis, they came out. And they took them under gunfire. They took them out of their house, and they said, they're still shooting outside. Come now. You know, they didn't take anything with them, absolutely nothing. They took their dog that was in the bomb shelter with them the whole time. And they started walking towards the petrol station that's outside the kibbutz, just outside the kibbutz, and they saw bodies along the way. They saw tanks. They saw, you know, there were grenades. It was just a war zone.
Sounds terrible. Could you tell us about some of your close friends who were not so lucky and were either murdered or are currently hostages?
So our close, very close family friends, Madal, Maul, they came into her house, and her husband works for Ynet. He was a photographer for Ynet News in Israel. So he, when he saw the, he heard the parachutes in the fields, he went out very quickly. He didn't realize what was going on. He went out to film them. She was in the house with their three kids. The terrorists came into the house. They shot her. And they told the kids to, they said, "Ta'ufu mipo," you know, "go away, get away from here," they told the kids. And the terrorists walked outside. Her husband, or he was with the little four-year-old, he was holding her on his hand. They shot him. He was injured. And the little four-year-old started, you know, running away because she didn't know what to do. The neighbor found her outside. She had blood all over her from her father that was shot. He took her inside to their house and put her in the bomb shelter with his wife and his three kids. The wife and the three kids of the neighbor and their little daughter, Smadal's daughter, have all been kidnapped and hostages in Gaza. Smadal's two older kids, 9-year-old and 6-year-old, that were in the house when she was shot, they ran into the cupboard in the bomb shelter and took her mobile phone and rang the police. And they said, our mother's been shot, our father's outside injured, and we don't know where our little sister is. And for 14 hours, they were in the cupboard talking to their grandparents and talking to social worker the whole time because no one could get to them because there were terrorists everywhere. They said, "We'll send you help as soon as we can." And eventually, after about 14 hours, they got the two kids out. The parents have been killed, and the little sister has been taken hostage.
Let's go back to talk about your family. Where are your family at the moment? Are they safe?
So as they evacuated them from the kibbutz overnight and over those, you know, 36 hours, they took them to different, depending on the group of people that were rescued, they took them to different places. So my parents and my brother and his kids were taken to Eilat on a bus at 3 o'clock in the morning. And my sister was only rescued about 12 hours later. We lost contact with her for 12 hours because her phone died. She had no electricity in her house. Her whole neighborhood were completely slaughtered, one after the other. We were sure that she was killed. We had no contact with her. She was then taken to Kibbutz Shfa'im, which is north of Tel Aviv, and that's where most of the survivors of Kfar Aza community are still there now. My brother and his family and my parents are now, in the next few days, they're moving to Tel Aviv. They want to be closer to the rest of their friends and the community.
You actually mentioned to me before we spoke on the phone that you had plans to visit Israel before the war, on the 23rd of October, but now obviously the situation is different. You canceled your flight, but don't you still want to go and see your family?
Definitely. We were supposed to go next Monday, and we always stay on the kibbutz. That's where we stay. Yes, I was. I'll actually try to make my flight earlier once this happened and go and be with my family. When I suggested that to them, they told me, "Do not come here. There's war going on. We don't have our cars. We don't have anything. Where are you going to stay? You know, it's going to get worse here before it gets better. And what you're doing in Australia is a lot more helpful to us and to all our people than being here with us."
Mm. Everybody here in Australia and the Jewish community, they ask themselves, how can we help? Could you suggest how the local community can help the families in Otef Aza in these difficult times? And I also know that you actually started an initiative together with your friends to raise money to the support of the people in Otef Aza. Tell us a bit more about this.
So Sunday evening, we're holding a webinar and a fundraising event directly for my kibbutz, for Kfar Aza. And I encourage people to donate to specific causes so they know where the money is going to, not general, large funds. And also speaking to the media and continuing to support Israel, because we know that very quickly the world is going to turn against Israel even more when the army go into Gaza by ground. So it's really continuing to tell the story and continuing to explain the facts, because often the media here is very biased and they don't report the facts. They report, you know, reports that they get from people. It's the fundraising and helping those communities and just getting the message out here.
Do you know of any other families here in Australia that got directly affected by the attack on Saturday?
Look, I don't know personally, but I think, you know, as you know, 1,300 people were killed and 200 plus people have been taken hostage. Israel is a small country, and everyone knows someone by some kind of connection. So I don't necessarily know people that that live here that had families that live in those communities, but everyone's got relatives or family or friends, or, you know, friends from the army or, yeah.
Tell me a little about your non-Jewish friends and just people who approach you. How did they react to the events? What did they tell you?
My work has been very supportive. They're even going to join the webinar. My director's going to join the webinar on Sunday. They're very supportive of me and of Israel. I do feel that a lot of my work colleagues or non-Jewish friends, you know, they're very supportive of me and feel sorry for me and what I'm going through, but they don't like to go into the conversation about the deeper conversation about the situation. When they don't want to go into that kind of conversation, I know that they might have a slightly different opinion from me. And it's also hard for me to blame them. I mean, we grew up, educated about the situation in the Middle East. We grew up into it. And they don't have the same kind of knowledge that we have about the situation. All they know is what they hear in the media. And look, unless we educate them more, they just don't know. So, I mean, I compare it a bit to the war in the Ukraine. We all feel very sorry for them, but if you don't know anyone directly impacted, then you're a bit more ignorant of the situation. So I know it's very different what's going on in the Ukraine, what happened on the 7th of October. And I think everyone, the majority of Australians, you know, condemn what happened on the 7th of October, but then they have an opinion about what's going on, you know, what the next steps as well.
Keren Levinson, an Israeli living in Australia for the last 15 years, but was born and raised in Kibbutz Kfar Aza, and her whole family was saved from the terrible attacks on October 7th. Thanks so much for sharing your story, and hopefully we'll speak in better times.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.